Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Big Blue Insider is on. News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider, hour number two of our program. And the last time we had my next guest on the show, he was hard at work putting together a football yearbook but had no idea if there was going to be football. And if there was, who's going to be on the team? Because you never knew who was going to stay healthy enough to play football on September 26th. I don't even know if we knew there were going to be games on the 26th. At any rate, let's bring in Daryl Byrd. He is on our celebrity hotline. And now he knows that the Wildcats will play Auburn down on the plains. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very good. Much better than the last time we talked. That was no fun putting all those hours of work into a project that anybody out there could have nipped it right then. That would have been awful.
I could hear the stress in your voice back then. So now we will shamelessly plug the yearbook. You can't have football without a Cat's Paws yearbook. But no. It looks as though, and we talked about this last time, Daryl, that, you know, one of, if not the major storyline this season will be Terry Wilson. And by all accounts, he is, they say, looking pretty much like he did when we saw him beat Florida. So if you're a Kentucky fan, certainly that's great news.
Oh, absolutely. And I kind of expected it as long as he was out and rehabbed. And, you know, there are little hints every now and then that rehab was going really well and he was starting to run again. It was not a huge surprise, but absolutely critical if this team is going to do what we all think it is capable of doing, to have Mr. Wilson back there. And it'd be a little extra nice to have Mr. Gatewood's waiver approved soon. That would help matters considerably, I think.
What do you make of the theory that there's a gentleman's agreement in place and that he might play after they face Auburn?
That's an interesting theory. Wouldn't surprise me completely that there, how many gentlemen agreements have been out there this year with whether to even play or not. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes at all these conferences. But, you know, that would not surprise me that, and I got a feeling even if he was cleared, I don't know that Coach Stoops would trot him out there against Auburn anyway. He'd want Terry in there every minute he'd have him.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I think people are going to wonder why we're not seeing Bo Allen, why we're not seeing this guy, that guy, but it's just going to be – so many things are going to be different this season, right?
Yeah, it's you've got 10 games and they're all SEC games. You don't have time to – wouldn't it be nice to get somebody playing time? I don't – you know, the rule that I love, which is you can play your four games and still keep your red shirt, I don't even know that you take advantage of that situation, at least not with four full games. You may work some of the kids in, you know, later in the year, maybe two – not four, and preserve the red shirt. But I don't think that option's really on the table either. With 10 conference games, you've got to, you know, make your hay while you can, win as many as you can during this kind of a very bizarre season.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot on the show about how some coaches in this league and others may be getting a pass this year because it's so hard to figure out, you know, did this coach underachieve and that sort of thing.
Oh, I think it's a free pass for anybody unless you're at Southern Miss. Because you can't expect, you know, with what they've had to go through just trying to get the team ready and dealing with COVID and everything else coming down the line, you can't hold them accountable to say you lose your job because you didn't win five games against SEC competition in the strangest year that we've ever seen and hope we never see again. So, yeah, I agree with that. I think it would have to be something outrageous to see, in my opinion, see a coach get fired after this season.
Daryl, this is Billy Rutledge, and is there anything that's changed significantly since the Big Ten decided to not play football and then till today when they decided that they will resume the football season. I just don't see any sweeping medical evidence that comes to this decision. Is it just they thought they kind of rushed the decision and that's why they're coming back, or why do you think the change of heart?
I think the sweeping decision was the sweeps that the ACC teams were running last weekend and said, wait a minute, if the ACC is going to play, there's just too much peer pressure. They just, I mean, everybody was on them from the get-go of, you know, originally it was, why are you deciding now? You can wait. And then it became, all right, you guys really screwed this up. You better fix it or else. And it was just, it was becoming a huge black eye. And even some of the Big Ten coaches now that they're playing are starting to admit, you know, if we hadn't played, it would have destroyed us in recruiting this coming season. Everybody in the world would have used that against us, and rightfully so. So they're trying to salvage some of that, and can't turn your back on the revenue that's out there either. But I think it was just the ACC and the Big 12 were actually out there doing it, and you've got to be holding your hands and go, what? Why? What's different there that we can't do it here? And they just finally had to give in. I don't think they had a choice.
Darryl, heading into this 2020 season, with, in terms of Kentucky, all the storylines are, what's Terry Wilson going to look like without Lynn Bowden? But is there a storyline that you're following that maybe isn't getting the same amount of attention that should be?
Gosh, there's several. They're so deep at every position. I want to see how A.J. Rose does. You know, everybody just assumes, well, it's three running backs, and maybe Juton's going to work his way in, so maybe four and running back by committee and all that. And from everything you're hearing out of camp, A.J. Rose has said, I'm the lead running back, and I'm going to go out and prove it, and I'm going to do what I have to do to. And he sat there, he watched Benny Snell do what he did to get to the NFL. Last year, he's the second leading rusher, and he watches Lynn Bowden do what he had to do to get to the NFL. Sadly, the stupid Raiders traded him. That's another matter entirely. And here he is. Here's his chance. I mean, he's 600 yards away from 2,000 in his career, and you would never dream that. And you start doing the research on this guy, and it's like he had the longest play from scrimmage for running back or for the team last year. He had the longest play from scrimmage the year before. He's 6'2", 220-something, and he's a whole lot faster than everybody realizes. Yeah. And now he has kind of fine-tuned his body, as players tend to do in that last year, to where he can – really pound it in there and, you know, get those Benny Snell yards that makes him a complete player. So I really want to see if it is running back committee or if AJ grabs this position and takes off with it.
That would be something, because we were talking to Jeff Pecora the other night, Darryl, and you've been around for a while. You were just a young lad back when Jerry Claiborne was coaching. But Jeff Pecora thinks that this group could approach rivaling the group at its best when he was playing, that had four future NFL draft picks or NFL players led by George Adams. And that's saying a lot about this running back class.
Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right. And why would you? You notice because everybody follows the, you know, the lead pony. Lynn Bowden set the school record for, I think, yards per carry on each attempt. But Kavathie Smoke was on, he's on that list now too. He came in at like number five or six in school history on how many yards every time he touched the ball. So you can't turn your back on him either. And then Chris Rodriguez, and the coaches can't shut up about the freshman, so who knows how good he is. We don't get to see that this time of year with everything going on, but he may be, you know, Jeff may be right. It's going to be very interesting to see. And, oh, if you can throw in a passing game, suddenly that running attack gets even better.
That's right.
Darryl, I'm not sure how much NFL you watch this weekend, but this pumped-in crowd noise is going to be an issue. I mean, not just for us watching the game, but even for the guys on the field. Do you think this is necessary, or do you think we're just trying to recreate something that maybe we'll just have to go without this year?
Yeah, they're trying to recreate. They're trying too hard. I guess you give them credit for at least trying it. But, you know, I'm still struggling to get over the cardboard cutouts behind the home plate in baseball games. I'm still struggling with that one from the time I saw it. I understand you want some kind of noise, but I mean, Auburn's going to have 17,000 people in there, and I think all students, except for probably, I'm sure some big money donors will get in, but primarily students, they'll make a lot of noise. And it won't be like Jordan Hare is, but it's going to echo. It's going to be a big cavernous place, and they'll get up and get rowdy. So I don't know that you need to pump it in. I understand they're trying to salvage it. and just don't pump it. If you want to play some background for the TV audience, fine. You know, do it from the studio. Do it that way as opposed to trying to pump it into the stadium.
Tease the Lynn Bowden trade to Miami, and I'm very curious to get your perspective as a Raiders fan on what you think went into that and just your reaction. You called them stupid already, so I'm guessing you aren't happy about it.
This comes from the team that passed over Josh Allen. Remember,
that's right.
A pick they could have had at number 30. They passed on Josh Allen, who's turning out to be a pretty good player. Imagine that. Everything you hear read about it is that they were trying to convert Lynn to a running back, purely a running back, and that was not going as quickly as they hoped it would. And so they worked out the deal to trade him to Miami. You know, it depends how long it's going to take me to get on the field in Miami. It may work out better for him in the long run because he's not a line-it-up running back. He's out in the space, you know, H-back type, if anything. You don't want to put him back there and get him out, get him a little bit of space, and then watch him work his magic. He's not Benny Snell trying to do whatever they want to do with him from back there.
Yeah, you know, and one of the early reports is, well, he's not blocking very well. Really? You know, he wasn't going to block for himself at Kentucky, so this is all new, you know. So, you know, we've been talking to you for a while. We mentioned the yearbook at the top, and if you missed it earlier, shamelessly plug what's in the yearbook. Why should people pick it up?
Actually, sales are going really well, and I was really curious about how it would be because I know people wanted football, but then some people are down on sports right now, and it's so iffy, you know, you're going to buy the yearbook, they could cancel the season before it even starts, or in one game in, they could have a huge outbreak and cancel it. And I think it's been a combination of I can't wait for football, and his team is really good, by the way. I want to get my copy. And I think there's another segment out there of this would be pretty cool to have if they don't even have a season. It's a yearbook for the season that never was. So, you know, kind of a historical thing is, you know, tell your kids about, what do you mean there was no season in 2020? Well, let me tell you about this little virus that was going around. So I think that's part of it. But, yeah, we've got a big story on the Big Blue Wall, which has kind of been forgotten with all the other stories coming out of camp that, it's the best offensive line in the league, perhaps, or right up there. The story on them, story with every single position group. We highlight Terry Wilson with the quarterbacks, and, you know, we look at the running back, but there's something in there. And then we have bios and updated info on every single player on the roster, as well as looking ahead to who might win the SEC. And then our high school section is double the number of pages that it has been in the past. We dress that up a lot and got the high school section out there. And fortunately, they are playing as well. Saw a heck of a game last Friday out at Frederick Douglass.
Oh, you got to go?
Yes.
Wow. That puts you among a select few. That's good.
There were more than you think. They did the smart thing. They said, okay, I wanted to shoot it because I needed some stuff for our next issue of the magazine. And they said, well, here's how we're doing it. You are confined to the end zones. If you want to trade end zones, you have to go out to the track, walk around. You don't go near the players or we'll have to ask you to leave. And they said, we're serious because our jobs depend on it. And they said, no problem. And everybody who was there obeyed it perfectly. Not a single problem. You wore your mask. And you just shot from the end zone. And it worked out beautifully.
Good.
In a great game. What a finish.
Yeah, that's what I read. But, yeah, absolutely. Just a minute or two left with the Daryl Bird of the Cats Paws. And are you going to make the trip to Auburn?
We're still kicking that back and forth. There's a lot of weirdness trying to figure out, okay, if you do go, are they going to lock you in the press box and have an armed guard at the door so you don't intermingle with anybody? Or we're still working through some things to see. Would love to. Love to get down there, but kind of playing it out and got a few more questions to answer, and then I'll know for sure.
Gotcha. Before I let you go, your thoughts on the Big Ten rolling back into football, and should the Big Ten – a lot of people are wondering now, should the Big Ten get a berth in the playoffs if somebody goes undefeated?
Yeah, that was an interesting – and first it was 8 games. So if they play 8 games, they can't get in. Well, no, it's 9 games. But if they are smart – this is the conference that decided not to play football. If they are smart now, they can correct themselves. They will make sure the Ohio States, the Penn States, the Michigan, they front load that schedule in case something happens. Say, okay, we only played 7, but hey, I'm Ohio State. I beat Penn State. I beat Michigan. I beat Wisconsin, and I took out Nebraska. Tell me I'm not qualified to be in your 4-team playoff.
Yeah.
Don't set them up with Northwestern and Rutgers. you know, put those games at the end of the year. You better front load it and get all your marquee games in as fast as you can, so you have a resume no matter how short it is.
It's a story that just keeps getting stranger and weirder with every turn. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I guarantee you there are people thinking like that. But, you know, in a way, you can't blame them, right?
No, you can't. But the Big Ten has an answer. They can, you know, you weren't making it to the playoffs unless Ohio State beats a Michigan, they beat Penn State. You're not getting to the playoff anyway unless you do that. So you might as well play them. You put them at the end of the year, shame on you.
Yeah.
You just set yourself up not to even get in, not to get invited, and then the fun will continue.
Gotcha. Daryl Bird of the Cat's Paws go out today, tomorrow, this week, before the first game, and snag a copy of the Cat's Paws yearbook. You can get it where you get all fine publications of that kind. And follow Daryl at Daryl Bird, 2 R's, 2 L's, on Twitter. Thank you, sir.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Have a good one. And we're back in just a few here on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
My thanks again to Daryl Bird for joining us. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jake Query. He is a broadcaster, sportscaster, based up in Indianapolis, has covered Indiana sports, IU sports specifically. He attended IU, and he's covered the Big Ten for a long, long time. And, of course, the news coming today that the Big Ten will play football. But, fellas, the quarterback at Michigan, a big-name player, Dylan McCaffrey, says he will opt out of the season and look for a transfer. So I guess, Aaron, that's a sign of the times right now, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's your typical, I didn't win the starting job, I'm out move. And the opt-out, I guess it's kind of too late to transfer anywhere else this season and get eligibility anywhere. So it makes sense for him. If he feels Michigan's about to play, why would you go out there and possibly risk getting COVID or risk getting injured and ending your football career? So it makes sense. But it's the thing I'm sick of is these quarterbacks who are like, I didn't win the job, I'm out. It's definitely a little bothersome for the old school in me, but I get it.
Well, let me ask you about that. And, because I'm the old guy here, but I've always wondered about that, and I always find it interesting that when you – and I've talked to quarterbacks about this. When you sign up to play quarterback, you know there's only going to be one. That if you – we all know and I think embrace the notion that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any – but, and I've only seen it work on a couple of occasions, but with transferring being the way it is now, can you blame a guy? Billy, I'll start with you on that. I mean, why sit around? If you're beaten out fairly and you're healthy and he's just better, why sit and watch? Because it's not like any other position where they rotate.
You're right, and you only have a few years of eligibility, so why are you going to waste one of them on the bench when you could go to a much smaller school and immediately play? I definitely see where Aaron's coming from with the whole old school aspect about it, and you should be a competitor and you should be there for your team. But, you know, these coaches can leave at the drop of a hat, and I feel like at least these players should have an opportunity to go find another home to play at if it doesn't exactly work out for them.
Aaron, you're old school, but doesn't the competitor in you want to go find someplace else where you can play?
I think that is a fair point. And I think more what gets me with this whole thing is that, you know, you have a guy, I can't remember the schools that were involved, but the kid who tried to transfer to be near a sick grandparent before they passed away is denied a waiver. And Tate Martell is sitting at Ohio State, gets beat out by the job, and he's granted a waiver at Miami. That type of thing gets me. If you're going to transfer just because you want a starting job and the rules as of now are what they are, you got to sit. And that's what it is, I guess, for me.
I'm with you. Back in a few, 630 WLAP.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge, Aaron Gershon, and my next guest joined us not too long ago. We talked about a lot of things, including Kentucky and Indiana basketball. But we had to reach out to him today with the announcement that the Big Ten is returning to football. Jake Query on our Celebrity Hotline. You also know his work from the radio coverage of the Indy 500. How are you, sir?
You know, I am. Here's the thing, Dick. I'll be honest with you. I've done a lot of radio, you know, things over the years working in the industry. I've never before gotten the chance, I don't think at least, to talk to the owner of a Kentucky Derby winner. So this is a bucket list thing for me. It's pretty cool, so I'm excited about that.
Well, I do appreciate that, and you do have an appreciation for horse racing. In fact, Jake, if you missed our last show, he came down and took a tour of Claiborne Farm, and he got to meet Orb. He actually got to pet the Derby winner. So I figured you would appreciate that, and it's you can jump in there now. There's plenty of opportunities to jump onto MyRacehorse.com, and maybe you'll own a piece of a Preakness winner. So there's the shameless plug for that. But and before I ask you about football, I got to ask you, how odd was it working the Indy 500 broadcast, which is one of my favorite things of the year, the way you guys work it, but without fans there, man, what was that like?
You know, Dick, it was surreal for sure because, you know, I mean, as we usually do, I mean, I'll liken it for your listeners to the Kentucky Derby. I mean, it's a great tradition here. It's a great spectacle. And, you know, the event itself is largely made up by those fans. So to be able, you know, in a typical year, you have to have an escort to get into the Oval if you're in a working capacity just to make sure that you get in there.
Yep.
And, you know, to be able to just leave my house and 15 minutes later be at the pagoda and then get in my car and drive from the pagoda out to turn three and just park my car to the grandstands was very surreal. Once the race began and I was watching the cars come up the backstretch, then it was, you know, you get into race mode and that thrill is still there.
Sure.
And you don't really notice the stands itself. But, look, like the Kentucky Derby, it is still a fabulous event. It is still a historic event, but it's an event that is largely built in its prestige based on the fans. So let's just say I hope that's the only year we have to do it. We got through it. And hopefully next year we get back to some semblance, you know, some normalcy.
I'm with you. And now, football fans in the Big Ten, it won't quite be normal, but at least they'll have college football. Your reaction to the fact, first of all, that they basically caved and decided to have college football?
You know, this is probably not going to be popular opinion, and I'm not saying it's the right opinion. I personally am under the belief that we are, you know, the thing that I've said for a long time, Dick, I'll put it this way, is, you know, we are a country that oftentimes rightly and understandably and justifiably celebrates the great sacrifices that our grandparents, the greatest generation, made for this country, where everyone collectively came together to help the United States win a war, you know, from 41 to 45.
Right.
You hear about people sacrificing, you know, rationing and people obviously volunteering to serve and people, you know, doing everything they could to help out in the great common cause. I'm not saying that a virus like this is a world war. I don't want that to be misunderstood. However, now here we are in 2020 and we sacrificed for 4 years in this country for a great war and we couldn't sit still in this country for 6 weeks because of great clips. Because people needed to get a haircut. And, you know, whether or not you believe in the virus or the severity of it, I mean, I have a friend, a childhood friend whose father passed away with it. I do believe it's very serious. So I won't get up on that soapbox except for to say there is obviously the back of mind concern at all times as to whether or not we are accelerating too quickly in a return to normalcy.
Yeah.
However, I also understand and respect the other side of it, which is from an economic standpoint, and if you believe in her, you know, her immunity standpoint, you know, there is something to be said for that as well. So there's a balance there. I think what we're seeing with the Big Ten is when the Big Ten made its initial announcement that they were going to forego college football this fall, that was still at a time where, and this is the thing that I think people fail to realize about a novel virus. Novel is the key word. You're learning on the fly.
Right.
And 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, the information that we had, you know, it changes by the hour, obviously. So did the Big Ten make a decision prematurely? Based on the information that's available now, you could probably say that, but I don't think it was premature at the time. I think, Dick, the bottom line is when the Big Ten made its initial decision, I think the Big Ten was fully anticipating and under the belief that the Pac-12 was going to follow suit, and then very shortly thereafter, in no particular order, the Big 12 and then the ACC
yep.
at the or would say, you know what, this is the right decision, and they would follow suit. And they firmly believed that the SEC would hold out until the very end, until there was no other conference in the Power Five with them.
Right.
And that the SEC was going to hold out to then be able to say, hey, we tried it, but nobody else wanted to play, so we're just going to, and the SEC would also. So the Big Ten, I think, anticipated that being the case. But in the course of time, obviously now the availability of rapid testing and other things have come into play where, and I do personally believe reluctantly, some of the presidents of the Big Ten went ahead and voted for this. But the guidelines that they put out are such that the for people to see the headline and think, here we go,
yeah,
college football, the Big Ten's going to play all these games. Look, there are a lot of asterisks in this.
Yeah.
I can never say that word, but there are a lot of caveats.
Gotcha.
Whether or not this comes to fruition in terms of a full slate and we see Ohio State in the college football playoff is a huge question mark. I mean, the ACC is a bit – look, I'm a huge Clemson fan, and I love watching Clemson games. But you look at the ACC has already come out now with Virginia Tech having to postpone, and the ACC has said, hey, listen, if we get to the point where we have eight or fewer teams that have full health, we're shutting it down.
Yeah.
So there are still a lot of questions out there, but I think what the Big Ten finally decided was, you know what, if this is question marks for everybody, let's go ahead and throw our hat in the ring of at least being in the question mark conversation.
Jake, this is Billy Rutledge, and I guess the most concerning thing for me is that we're just not all on the same page here. I mean, yesterday you see Ed Orgeron, the LSU coach, almost bragging about how all of his players have already gotten it, and hopefully they won't get it again. Also, Texas had 75 out of 123 players get it since they started testing. So I just, you know, it's concerning to me that we have these differing opinions on how we get to playing football. And so my question to you is, there's no doubt that I think we start this season and the Big Ten will kick off, but do you think we finish it?
I don't. I will say this, Billy. I could not agree with you more. And the challenge that you have is you have to have uniformity. And when you're talking about conferences that have schools that are, A, both private and public, so therefore you have that variation that comes into play, B, in different states. So let's just say, for example, you know, the state of Michigan, when COVID first hit, Michigan was one of the real hot zones, right? I mean, we know about the problems they had at the Detroit area and et cetera. Then you throw in the fact that the president of University of Michigan is, if I'm not mistaken, an epidemiologist and has a background in this and was very hesitant about it. So let's just say for the sake of argument that Michigan is really lukewarm, but Wisconsin or Iowa as states are all in. Well, when you're talking about a conference, you have to have uniformity. You have to have, unless you're going to have some that are just going to sit out the year. I don't know how you do that from a conference standpoint. You know, in terms of, The other challenge that you have is the fact that, like with the Big Ten schools, just so people know, the Big Ten schools right now are not doing a bubble. What they're doing is, sure, each respective program can try to bubble or isolate their players. And at an Ohio State or a Michigan, where the vast majority of their starters have NFL aspirations, those guys are going to take this as serious as possible. I'm not going to associate with other people. I'm going to make sure I'm healthy. I need to play on Saturdays because I have NFL stock in play. Okay, well, then what about the guy at Rutgers where you have, you know, eight guys on the roster that are starting that, and I hate to throw Rutgers under the bus, but just, you know, state you. We'll just use a generic school. But a school where the majority of kids playing football, they don't worry about the NFL. They're going, this is college. They want to have fun. They want to do what college can do. They're intermixing with, I mean, Indiana University has basically had to shut down the Greek living because, in terms of the housing, because of massive spreads already.
Yep.
So when you get the athletes intermixing with the regular student body and they're on campus, it becomes wildfire. I don't know how you control it, Billy. I agree with you. I mean, it just and that's not to sit here and try to be doomsday. It's the reality of it. I mean, we are learning new things every day about this. Look, the Big Ten is not going to allow fans into the stadium, you know, select family members only. But, you know, when you have the problem is when you have a kid at school A that's going into his geology class and he's sitting next to a guy that was at a frat party on a Friday night that doesn't know that he's an asymptomatic carrier. And so now he sits there and then he goes and plays on Saturday and he's playing against somebody in school B and he's tackling him and he's on top of him in a pile. Now he's passed him the virus and then that kid goes back to school A and, you know, he's sitting in a and boom, right?
Right.
I mean, how serious do we want to take this? I get it. I understand people's skepticism. I understand people's rolling of the eyes. I understand that college kids between 18 and 22 are probably not likely to have severe cases. But we don't know that. When the Indiana had an offensive lineman, a freshman, who developed COVID-19, and they discovered heart issues that were a result of it, and his mother posted on Facebook about the fact that he was having cardiovascular issues as a result of COVID-19 and that his football career was in jeopardy. That was the first signal where the Big Ten went, whoa, wait a minute, and that began the dominoes of the Big Ten backing away from the table a little bit. That was the very first domino. There's still so many unknowns in this where I think it is a little bit dangerous. But again, what I want to emphasize here is I understand that people are skeptical of being oversensitive about college-age kids with COVID-19.
Right.
Because of the fact that – but those kids have to go home for Thanksgiving. And when they go home for Thanksgiving, they're sitting at the table with grandma and grandpa and great-uncle. It's just – in my opinion, it's a can of worms.
Yep. Go ahead, Aaron.
And I'm not trying to be – look, and I'm not trying to be – you know, Mr. You know, far. I mean, I'm not trying to be Mr. Skeptic, liberal, leftist, whatever you want to call me. That's fine. I'm a realist.
Right.
I'm a realist.
Right.
And it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. And you know what? Here's the bottom line, guys. I worked for a major radio corporation that in January laid off 12% of its workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm not overly worried about it because when my contract came up, I prepared for that. And the preparedness for the worst-case scenario is what allows me to be just fine today.
Yeah.
You don't get by in life by going with the small percentage. You get by preparing for the worst, in my opinion. And I just feel like the Big Ten might not have done that.
Got about three more minutes. Aaron, go ahead.
Yeah, Jacob, everything does go through. The Big Ten's able to get through a season. What are you expecting from your home state teams, Indiana, coming off kind of a surprise year last year, kind of flew under the radar, and Purdue, after a pretty good year in 18, had a rough year last year. Now Rondale Moore opts out.
Well, that's a great question. And here's the thing. Indiana was very optimistic coming into the year because Indiana is the one team of those two that I think really, you know, was most hopeful about this year because of the fact that they got into a bowl game. They did have a good year last year. Their defense showed improvement. And Indiana's got some wins. Now, so I think both are bowl possible teams. Let's just say, for the sake of argument here, hypothetically, in a perfect case scenario, right, in a normal situation, Indiana was a realistic and that, you know, 6-8 win category for bowl eligibility and getting themselves to a decent bowl. And Tom Allen was a guy that was a very good high school coach in Indiana, and I had questions whether or not he was a legitimate D1 coach, and he has silenced me on that. So far, he has shown proper steps in Indiana, and this was a big year to see if, in fact, last year was a fluke or if Indiana is moving in the right direction. For Purdue, Rondale Moore was an unbelievable sensation as a freshman. He was hurt last year as a sophomore. He has opted out. Jeff Green anticipates trying to talk to him. You have to, right, to see if he would be willing now that the Big Ten's going to play. But he made that decision to opt out before the Big Ten announced they weren't going to play. So I don't know how much that comes into play. I would not anticipate that Rondale Moore, the wide receiver and a dynamic open field guy, I don't think he comes back. But David Bell, who will be a sophomore, is one of the best young wide receivers in the country, certainly in the Big Ten. So Purdue's got some weapons. They've got some questions at the quarterback position. But Brohm has recruited well, but those players are young. So Purdue, I think, was in year two, if you will, of seeing where exactly they are in, let's say, a three-year window with the talent base they had. Indiana was in year three of that. So Indiana may be a year ahead of Purdue. But I think both of them were in that range of, you know, middle-tier bowl. And in a perfect scenario, if every game is played, that's where they both are. Ohio State clearly is the cream of the Big Ten. There's no doubt about it. And as a diehard Clemson fan, I don't want Clemson to play Ohio State in the college football playoffs. Ohio State has never in their history defeated Clemson, and all of those games have been in bowl games. So the odds are stacked against Clemson, in my opinion. It's got to balance out at some point.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that feels like that as well. Yeah, the odds are going to catch up with you. And the fact that Jake is a Clemson fan, that's a story for another night. But we love talking sports with Jake Query up in Indianapolis. Thank you, sir. Please stay healthy. I know you will. And we will visit again soon, I hope.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. Best of luck to everybody there as well.
Thanks. And root for. I know you'll root for Authentic in the Preakness, right?
I will. You betcha. I want you to make as much money as possible, buddy.
Attaboy. Thanks, Jake. Have a good evening.
All right, guys.
And we're back in just a few here on 630 WLAP.
Come.
This is the home of the Wildcats. 630 WLAP.
Thanks again to Jake Query for joining us. Just a few minutes left. And we mentioned earlier that Anthony Davis made the first-team All-NBA. Not a surprise. And, yeah, it's been a weird kind of season. We know that. But it's also weird in the NBA, fellas. You've got the defending champ gone. You've got one of, if not the favorite to win it, Milwaukee, gone. You've got the scoring champion eliminated. I mean, is this the path wide open now for the Lakers? Aaron, I'll start with you. I mean, is it that cut and dried now?
I mean, they got to be considered heavy favorites of these four teams, but I really think Miami has a shot. They're playing with house money. They weren't expected to go this far, and they're playing. They're just playing with like a chicken with their heads cut off. They're winning every single game. They lost one game the whole postseason, so I think the Lakers are definitely the team to beat, and I wouldn't be at all shocked if they win at all. But if they're the number two team, I like Miami.
Huh. What do you think, Billy?
I mean, if Los Angeles keeps getting performances like they got from Rondo the other night, then I don't know how they're going to be stopped. You know, they just got a lot of depth, and at times they're able to take LeBron out of the game and let him rest, something that he hasn't been able to do on many championship teams. So, you know, I think that duo of Anthony Davis and LeBron James has, you know, had their eye on that title, especially with all the heartache that Laker fans and all of us have had to go through with Kobe this year. Yeah. So I think there's some more, you know, powerful forces at play with
that. Could well be, and you mentioned Rondo, and of course people who watched him here know that he's kind of an oddball, but he is crazy talented. And yeah, when you throw him out there with all the things he can do, including guard and play defense, or that's the same thing I was going to say, guard and rebound, yeah, there aren't many teams that could put people out there on the floor like that. Quick quote from the Northwestern president about agreeing to play football. He said it wasn't political pressure. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about lawsuits. It wasn't about doing what everybody else was doing. It was the unanimous opinion of our medical experts. So if you believe that, well, you know, maybe it was, but I think everything else that he mentioned did figure in to what they were talking about. Oh, and fellas, if you're looking for a job, Barbados has decided that the Queen will no longer represent Barbados, as they're going to get away from colonialism. So maybe either one of you guys throw a resume and maybe you can head up things in Barbados. That's it. Good night from the garage.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.